I'm Christine DiMatte. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. Will All Aboard Florida stop dead in its tracks? Last month, a federal judge handed two Florida counties a major victory when he ruled that they can go forward with a lawsuit against the Miami to Orlando passenger rail, or we should say proposed Miami to Orlando passenger rail service. Now, whether or not All Aboard Florida, or Brightline as it's being called these days, would be a great mode of transportation or a waste of money, this has been a huge topic of debate for several years now. And during our discussion, we would like to hear from our listeners. If you have a comment or question, please call us. The number to call is 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. And you can also tweet us at WLRN. Joining us now is Ann Helsen-Felkin. She's been covering this story for FloridaBulldog.org. Ann, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And it's important to note that we did reach out to both All Aboard Florida and the U.S. Department of Transportation to join us for this discussion. Both declined. Department of Transportation added that the agency does not comment on pending litigation. Now, Ann, Martin and Indian River counties, right, brought
Yes.
this lawsuit. What does the suit charge?
It charges that the Department of Transportation violated or ignored a federal law when it issued bonding authority for phase two of the railroad project.
Bonding authority. This is very, very complicated funding, funding mode. We'll get to that in a second because I might have you unpack those numbers for us. But please walk us through just the basics of it now. The first phase of All Aboard Florida, which is what's going on in South Florida now, the building
right.
of the stations in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale, in West Palm Beach, that's well underway. That's phase one, right?
Right. And the lawsuit does not affect phase one at all.
They're worried about phase two.
Yes.
Worried about phase two, which is where the train is running, where to where in phase two?
It's running from West Palm Beach to Cocoa and then to Orlando. And that project is going to, well, the entire project is going to cost about
$3
billion.
$3 billion. Now,
right.
phase two is expected to cost how much?
About $1.75 billion is what they're looking for.
Okay. And for that $1.75, well, first, Anne, when somebody's got a great big project like this, whether it's building a highway, building a bridge, building a rail service, there's one of three ways to pay for it. Number one, you already have the money. Number two, you don't have it and you get a government grant, which in this case is not going to fly because they touted this as a private. These are private companies, right?
Correct.
Okay, so that's not going to fly. That's out. The third is getting a loan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
From the U.S. Department of Transportation. And it does. The Department of Transportation simply doesn't write a check. It doesn't work that way, right?
Right.
They do this through these bonds.
Right. They issue
bonding authority. Bonding authority, which means I think they're called private activity. There are a number of names for
yes.
them. And like I said, this is very, very complicated high finance. So if any of our listeners have a background in capital markets or high finance, please call us. Number to call is 800-743-WLRN, 743-9576. So basically what happens is All Aboard Florida goes to the U.S. Department of Transportation for the loan. These bonds are issued. It's now incumbent upon All Aboard Florida to find the investors to purchase these bonds. Am I right so far?
Yep, you're right. And they've been having great difficulty before they were stopped by this court action. They've tried three times to issue bonds, and apparently the interest rate that the investors would receive is not high enough, from what I understand. The bond market is just,
I would imagine people would be skittish about it coming
yeah.
so soon after the recession.
Right.
So they've been having this difficulty from the beginning, stretching back to 3 years ago when this was first conceived?
I'm not sure if they've had funding problem all along, but I know that they have talked about getting government loans and grants, and there was a big uproar because they touted themselves as a private company. So, you know, the financing is a big problem for them. And with the parent company to this is called Fortress, and they're basically a hedge firm, and their idea is not to invest as little money as they can in the project, so they're not at risk. And then, the investors would be more at risk. Therefore, you know, it's high risk, high yield. But the interest rate isn't high enough to entice them.
Okay. And we'll get back to the financing in a second and also to the lawsuit in a second. Meanwhile, we're going to take a call from Evan in West Palm Beach. Evan, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Yes, my name is Henry. I'm calling from West Palm Beach. I'm calling in regards to the rail line. I really think it's a waste of money. I mean, from my perspective, I look at it this way. Orlando is not a city that has, you know, an adept transportation system within the city, because I used to live there at one point in time. So if you take a train from Miami, West Palm, or anywhere to Orlando, once you get to Orlando, you've got to rent another car anywhere because the city's so large, and like I said, there's no real mass transit. So it defeats the purpose, I think. So for that, I would just take my car, or if not, I'd rent a car from here.
Evan, thank you for your comment. Thank you. And now, to address Evan's concern there, I mean, wasn't there money thrown into an Orlando hub?
Yes.
To address Evan's concern?
$200 million through Governor Scott.
Okay, that state money.
Yes.
Okay, so that's adding fuel to the fire for people who say, hey, you know, I don't want any public money spent on this. This is supposed to be private.
What Olivard, Florida says is that that's a state investment. Not they're going to be a tenant in that facility, along with rental car companies. So they disassociate themselves from that expenditure.
Okay, let's get back to the lawsuit a second.
Okay.
The federal judge said what again?
He said that the Department of Transportation, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the interested party, All Aboard Florida, violated federal law because they did not complete
an environmental study, right?
Right. It's through the NEPA Act, and it goes through all kinds of different federal agencies. They have a say in what's going on and what problems there are, whether it's environmental, if it's a nuisance for the nearby residents. They take a look at everything.
But the Florida Railroad Administration, I thought 2 years ago, had already covered this, already covered that environmental study. So what went wrong here?
They never made a decision. They never decided on the loan, and they never published a letter of decision. So they basically shelved that. And they went through public, you know, discussion. There were several public hearings, but All Aboard Florida decided to go a different route. So it then went to the U.S. Department of Transportation and asked them for tax-free bonding authority. And if it is tax-free, it'll cost, the government will lose about $6 million within 10 years.
Was that $6 million or $600 million?
$6 million.
$600 million.
Okay. I'm sorry.
$600 million lost over 10 years, and that is because these are tax-exempt bonds.
Right.
Okay, what we're saying here, and once again, this is very, very complicated high finance, that because the tax revenue that ordinarily would go back into the government coffers is not going in. That's
right.
Money lost. But you see, the other side of the argument is the people here in our state who are in support of All Aboard Florida go, you know, we're going to recoup it through all these little industries that are going to sprout up right near the stations.
Right.
Right?
And in the stations.
Okay. On the line, we've got John from Miami Beach. John, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. There's actually a lot more benefit than just those immediate businesses that might spring up right next to places that have access to these kinds of trains and connected systems.
Good, tell us.
I just came back from spending the last month getting away from the heat in Portland, Oregon. Now, while I was there, I was able to use public transportation for virtually everything, and everything was interconnected and smooth and easy to use. I'm talking about not just in the city. I went from Portland, I went up to Seattle easily, I went to other parts of Washington State, even across state lines. It was a very smooth and easy transition.
And John, let me interrupt you. Compare that experience to what public transportation here in Florida, if you would.
Well, I live in Miami Beach. We have these trolleys that drive up and down the streets wonderfully at 3 miles per hour, blocking transportation, making it even worse than it was before we had them. Nothing connects to anything. You wait for hours out in the hot sun between times of catching buses. You have to transfer multiple times with long waits to try to get anywhere. You can't even get from one airport to the other without hours and hours of going through all kinds of hurdles to come across like this. And what kind of an impression does this leave on people that are coming here with their tourist dollars, that want to run up to Disney with the family for the day, that want to go out to the Sawgrass and go shopping, that want to go back and forth between Palm Beach and Miami Beach and to take cruises and to do different things.
Right.
There's a lot more spin-off to it than just the immediate dollars that go out for the cost and then whatever you might get from ticket revenues and things like that.
Right.
So there's way more to it. These things are investments. They're not just expenses, and they give yields that have to be calculated into the mix in deciding to support them. And I, for one, after just visiting someplace that had tremendous public transportation, came away with a very positive view of that location. And
John,
it would do the same for us.
Thank you. Thank you. And I would imagine, Anne, a lot of attitudes. You've come across a lot of support, like what we just heard from John. But conversely, a lot of people, particularly in the Treasure Coast, who say this doesn't benefit us at all because this train is just passing
right
through us.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yep. And I was just in Washington, D.C. for several months and took public transportation all over, and it was great. And I don't think it's a matter of public transportation per se. It's a matter of a company saying it's a private company. It's not going to use federal money or state money. And
transparency. They've not
right
been very forthcoming about a couple of things.
No.
You correct me if I'm wrong. They still will not, all aboard Florida, I mean, still will not tell us how much the ticket price is.
Correct.
Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, and people are angry about that. They want to know if we're making an investment in this. I mean, is this going to be a $20 ticket or a $200 ticket? What's
right
the deal?
Yeah.
And they're not saying, and that's what's causing the furor. Now, there was supposed to be a hearing, Anne,
yes,
on Tuesday. Okay, with the same federal judge?
Yes.
Okay, what was
Judge
decided
Cooper
there? Judge Cooper.
DOT and All Aboard Florida asked for a continuance. So now it looks like the middle of October is when he's going to hear it. And what the two agencies have to do is come back and answer questions that have been raised and that the judge has raised.
Okay, and what happens if the lawsuit is decided in favor of the two counties, this case Martin and Indian River? Where does All Aboard Florida find its funding then?
That's a very good question. We don't know.
I don't know. I mean, have they revealed anything on their website? Another complaint is they're not being forthcoming with any sort of marketing plan. This was the case 2 years ago.
Right.
Is it still the case?
Yes.
They still, you as a reporter, have you received a marketing plan from
no
them when you've asked?
No.
Okay.
I have.
And I mean, what other brick walls have you been coming across as a reporter?
When I first started looking at this 2 years ago, I tried to put together how the companies all fit with Fortress. And I thought I had it, but I didn't. And they were not helpful at all in supplying any information about their corporate structure.
And the organizational table would make anyone's eyes cross.
Right.
There's one major company, and then there are all these LLCs all over the place. Am
yep.
I right?
Yeah.
So it must, you're going to soldier on with this.
Right.
Our guest today was Ann Helsenfelken. She's a reporter for FloridaBulldog.org. Ann, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we've got for today's Florida Roundup. The Florida Roundup is produced by Bridget O'Brien and Alicia Zuckerman. Our technical director is Jason Zapka. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. WLRN's program director is Peter J. Mayers. Now, please stay tuned for Decision Florida, which you will be hearing each Friday at 1 p.m. for the next 9 weeks in the run-up to the November election. That hour-long show will be hosted by WLRN's own Tom Hudson. Thanks to all our callers, and thanks for listening. I'm Christine DiMatte. Have a great weekend.